gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. It's welcome to the thank God it's a short week on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, I noticed the parking lot's kind of empty. Apparently some people get the whole week off.
Wow. Why is the man keeping us down? Oh, I'm the man. All right. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, we have gifts, though, today.
We do?
We have the gift of Charlie Pierce.
Ah.
And the gift of Michael Tomasky, who I would like to date and marry.
It's like Christmas came early.
Exactly. Exactly. They actually both have great stuff on the Iran deal, including Michael Tomasky, Obama crushes the neocons.
Yes.
Yeah. And furthermore, all right, speaking of gifts, you know how normally, what?
No, I'm
are you,
I'm wary always, of what you're going to say.
You always flinch.
Well, because it's usually sauerkraut related.
No, 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 that's the holiday gift I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm not the gift Mama's burned sauerkraut.
Okay.
No, Seattle Sexy Liberal is the final 2013, right?
Right.
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 The Chris Mahana Kwanzaa Stefika show up in Seattle. Hit it.
Wrapping up the Sexy Liberal comedy tour for 2013, the Emerald City is about to get a brand new dose of hilarity. Welcome back, Seattle. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show returns to Seattle.
No, I've never been the kind of going for that sort of self-congratulatory hoopla.
Saturday, December 14th, the Paramount Theater welcomes the return of Stephanie Miller.
The greatest radio talk show host ever.
John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks in the plush and historic Paramount Theater, which has hosted Ella Fitzgerald and the Marx Brothers. The Paramount now welcomes Stephanie Miller.
I want you to meet a very charming lady.
And it's about time.
And her special brand of sexy liberal comedy. Tickets are available by going to stgpresents.org or the Paramount box office or sexyliberal.com. Don't miss this show December 14th.
What a festive day.
This is the Sexy Liberal Show.
Woo-hoo!
At the historic Paramount Theater.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the special holiday surprise. So, you know, normally it's a surprise celebrity guest on panel with
right.
us. It leaked out already, so I can already
I think
it.
I can guess who it is.
It's Dan Savage.
Dan Savage.
Oh. Squee. Squee.
Is that why we got that drunken message one night? I need Dan Savage's contact info.
So right. you're saying the show's right. going to get better.
That's what you're implying. It does get better. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
You just see. When you think Sexy Liberal can't get better, it does.
You know,
he was so great on Bill Maher. Did you watch?
He got Bill Maher in trouble. Have you seen that?
Oh, really?
No.
With the Catholic League.
Oh.
Oh, no. That blowhole for Bill Donahoe?
Yeah, for calling them kitty priests.
Ooh.
And they're not?
I know what's.
Okay.
He didn't, you know, disparage the entire Catholic religion. He just disparaged.
He was simply
he
talking about.
He disparaged the kitty priests.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. He was just talking about various people's opinions about gays having kids and virtual harm to children.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so it usually has not leaked out in advance, but it's Dan Savage. It's awesome on Bill Maher. And I'm sure we'll get me in trouble with Seattle as well.
I'm sure.
And here's the other thing that might be epic and awesome. Because you know it's Santorum season. Who gave us the gift of Santorum? Dan Savage is the one that put that into the
That's
Google
right.
machine.
Right? Santorum is a frothy mix of...
Right. Something.
Lubricant
anyway,
and...
Because of Dan Savage, that's... Right, and also, in honor of this sad news, Rick Santorum's The Christmas Candle movie has flopped. Has officially flopped.
That's right, he's a movie mogul now.
Right, he has Echolite. It's the family-friendly film production firm, The Christmas Candle. An old-fashioned holiday tale about a fictional
God.
English... tale in the late 19th century has grossed less than $2 million. Oh. Bringing in a pathetic $2,500 per screen. Okay, here's going to be, first of all, the rich irony. How much more Sexy Liberal will make than that?
Right.
And how much more money we're going to give to Sexy Liberal causes that Rick Santorum hates.
Right.
So there's layers of glee in this whole story. Unsurprisingly, the film's reviews know better than the finances. The New York Daily News, for instance, said the film is as if a little plastic holiday village came to life, except that might be interesting.
Oh.
poor Ricky. Okay, so here's the other layer of fun for Seattle.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Rocky Mountain Mike and the Rocky Mountain Mike players from the, you know, from the, all the bits from the Stephanie Miller Show,
right,
and his CD, his fabulous CD, Politically Incoherent, starring Jim Ward.
Right.
They're going to be, a lot of them are going to be at Seattle, and I believe they will be able to serenade Dan Savage directly with, you know.
Our family classic returns this year with a very frothy holiday.
Frothy Santorum was a frothy mix of snow. With a corn cob here and a carrot there, and he looked just like some coal.
Hello, children.
It's Frothy.
Hi, Frothy.
I hope you're having a great holiday season.
Where did you come from, Frothy?
Well, it's kind of a mix, but I mostly came from love.
You mean like when my daddy loves my mommy?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Well, I gotta go.
Don't leave, Frothy.
Bye, Frothy.
Rumpity, rump, rump. Rumpity, rump, rump. Look at Frothy go. Rumpity, rump, rump. Rumpity, rump, rump. Just like a lump of coal.
Right. Yay. Okay, so I would hurry, because I'm guessing those tickets are, oh, probably already gone. Okay, so that'll be a festive occasion, won't
yes.
it?
Yes.
All right, speaking of festive, our own Charlie Pierce has a great piece. Hopefully he's going to, we may be having him on early today.
Yep.
He has some stuff going on, but mm-hmm. He brought up a rich irony, Jim. You know,
mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm filling in. I'm filling in here for you to.
There you go again.
Yeah, that.
Accuse me of everything that's gone wrong because
oh, well,
I did vote for him. When
yeah,
I was,
you voted him into office. Thanks, you. You personally did that.
Right. That's because let me just serenade myself.
Maybe they should have prevented people at USC from. No.
Right. Right. Maybe there should be some ordinance where USC dumb USC students are not allowed to vote.
I blame it on the grasshoppers.
I am for suppressing the vote of Trojans.
Every grasshopper killed another brain cell, and that's why you voted for Reagan.
Exactly. I was too busy yakking on the 405 on the way to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Thanks to creme de mint.
To study the political issues.
Creme okay. de mint did it.
Yeah. But you know how it just, I,
wow,
whatever.
Creme de mint
just,
and Rocky Horror. That's, that's a frothy mix right there.
Right? It was a frothy mint. That's probably they still haven't been able to scrape it off the 405.
No wonder they're still working on the 405.
Yeah.
They're cleaning up the bar.
You caused Carmageddon. Thanks, staff.
That's right. Everything Obama's not responsible for. It's me.
That's right.
It's me. Okay. This just in. Dumb USC student class
destroys
of 1983. Has caused yeah. Carmageddon with recalcified puke on the 405. Thanks, Stephanie Miller. All right. Anyway, my point is that, I mean, I don't, just when you think you cannot get any more irritated about how just dangerous and obstructionist these Republicans mm-hmm. are about them literally looking like they're trying to tank the Iran deal because, God forbid, the president would have a victory of any kind politically or diplomatically or otherwise. But anyway, they're, you know, in honor of their hero, Ronald Reagan, who should have been impeached for what he did regarding Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll talk to Charlie. In a bit, but and then Michael Tomasky, also a great piece about Obama crushes the neocons, the agreement signed with Iran on Sunday, a momentous step forward, yet Republicans will try to subvert the success by playing to their Obama-hating base. And if we can't agree that this kind of stuff is too dangerous to do
right.
this with, I mean, people will die, you know, without health care in a lot of states where, you know, Republican governors are obstructing and not taking Medicaid funds, but this, we really could be talking about World War III here,
right.
if they're really going to do this, play the same kind of politics with this. I mean, and did you see the story that, again, this is exactly what the president ran on. Do you remember when he said, I'm going to talk to Iran and it's John McCain and, as Charlie calls her, Princess Dumbass of the Northwoods?
Yes.
If you could count how many times he was called naive. And well, this has been going on for a year. And it is historic, and I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not naive in terms of going, oh, Iran suddenly. But, I mean, it is a start, and it is huge, and it is a momentous thing.
This is what President Kennedy was trying to prevent,
right.
World War III.
And behind the scenes, people are using the same words, Jim, to describe the president in this that they did with the Bin Laden operation. It was gutsy. It was gutsy, and it was, you know. That's the thing, is he is not like a safe status quo kind of guy. He really is a leader. And whether you, again, how it turns out, we don't know. And nobody is naive enough, as I was saying, to say, oh, this is all going to turn out fine. We don't know.
Right.
But it's a start.
Yep.
As everyone's been saying. Anyway, so great stuff from Charlie and from Michael Tomosky on the Iran thing. So we will talk about that and much more as we roll along 16 minutes after the hour. Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
It's amazing what I learned during the commercial break there.
What if you spend one night in Bangkok, don't stiff the Thai lady boys because
right.
they get
right.
They get rough.
Don't okay.
Right. First they get stiff and then they get rough.
This is just what we've heard.
Yeah. What?
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. I there are a lot of great pieces on the whole Iran thing. Because I always think I'm crazy. Dana Milbank, Republicans mindlessly oppose Iran mm-hmm. nuclear deal. You know, when before details are announced, they've already tweeted. This is the thing with social media these days. They've already tweeted why it's bad.
Yeah.
Before they even know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean.
They've lost the art of critical thinking, it sounds like.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, and that's why Charlie writes such a great piece about the, in the shadow of Iran-Contra. You just, like, what? Okay, so Reagan is, like, your hero? And it's better to negotiate and trade, to sell arms to Iran? Anyway, Danny Milbank runs, Republicans opposed to President Obama's deal with Iranians, whatever it is, a couple of minutes after 9 p.m., Saturday, word crossed the news wires that negotiators in Geneva had reached an agreement on Iran's nuclear program. Then at 9.08 p.m., before any details of the pact were known, Ari Fleischer delivered his opinion on the agreement via Twitter. The Iran deal and our allies. You can't spell abandonment without Obama. First of all, the deal was made with our allies.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even see just the pictures. There's, yeah. you know, John Kerry and all these world leaders, ecstatic, shaking hands, mm-hmm. celebrating, like, wow, this is a historic step forward, at least. And there's, like, on cue, all the Republicans.
Right. And then Joan Walsh tweeted, well, you can't spell liar without Ari.
Right. Right. What's our favorite Paul Begala line ever?
What?
Ari Fleischer has never met a salad bar. It was some sort of fat joke. I don't know.
I think he's lost some weight since then.
Though. Right. But it was just sort of random.
Yes.
And Begala-esque.
Yes.
Right. This is the sort of trenchant judgment Fleischer was known for as chief spokesman for President George W. Bush at the start of the Iraq War. I mean, Bill Kristol, Charlie writes about that on his, you know, wrap-up of the Sunday shows. Really? Really, Bill Kristol? Do we really want to know what Bill Kristol thinks about this? Ay, God save us from the neocons. Okay. This one, Republicans may derail historic Iran deal and push for more sanctions. Top Republican lawmakers suggested on Sunday that Congress should move to impose new sanctions on Iran despite the historic agreement reached in Geneva between the...
Oh, God.
Is this just a classic case of not standing behind your president?
Yeah.
In a matter of critical international importance and war and peace, House Majority Whip Kevin McCarthy, that guy...
Not the guy from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right. No. Not that guy at all. Said we should move forward with the sanctions in the Senate. I mean, talk about trying to undercut and second-guess the president. Just go, you obviously don't know what you're doing.
We were attacked by Japan. Let's invade Iceland.
Right.
What?
Iran's foreign minister, of course, said piling on more sanctions would kill the agreement. I mean, it's... And I'm not saying, I trust Iran. But,
it's an opening. It's a possibility to avoid
war.
World War III.
Right. I mean, this is what Tomosky writes. Obama crushes the neocons. I mean, I love, he basically says, you know, the Iranian leader appears to be moving his right wing a bit. Ours, alas, isn't nearly so flexible as Iran's. I mean,
that tells you something.
Right. That's what Tomasky says. The guy Otero appears to have lent his provisional support. And, Jim, you were saying this early on. This guy's different. I mean, this was a hopeful thing, at least, when he came in. And right. sure enough, behind the scenes, that's what's been happening. When this new guy came in, at least talks were happening. He said, now we just need a sign-off from our American Ayatollahs.
Right.
Tomasky writes.
Exactly.
But the early indications are the Republicans eager to perform Bibi Netanyahu's bidding, not that they needed a second reason to oppose anything Barack Obama does, will do everything within their power to stop the thing from going forward. I mean, it is beyond infuriating, particularly, you know, on the heels of, we just had our friend Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald, in here in her new job at Justice for Vets. I mean, that's just one of the things. How many of our Americans are broken mentally, physically, or dead, families torn asunder, I think, as Tomasky writes, from Iraq and Afghanistan, particularly Iraq, which is completely unnecessary.
Yeah, and we've been in Afghanistan for, what, 13 years or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Ugh, I mean, I've said it before, but whatever. You know me, I'm just a happy, clappy Obama apologist. But you think, what if President Obama had been in and taken Bin Laden out the way he did, rather than having to go into Afghanistan in the first place, or Iraq? If it, just think, if we hadn't had to go in either one of those wars, it's just,
You okay?
I'm fine. Here he is, the president.
We cannot commit ourselves to an endless cycle of conflict. And tough talk and bluster may be the easy thing to do politically, but it's not the right thing for our security.
That's what's gotten so, like, disgustingly predictable. You're just, it's like they have their sound bites ready. They must have, like, a social, like a Twitter, like a template.
Yeah.
Just fill in why Obama bad here. Like, there is not one thing this president can do or say. And again, you would think at some point that the politics stops at the water's edge, but it doesn't here anymore.
Yeah,
they are reflexively, here's why this is bad, and he's a bad leader.
I think Obama set out to prove that diplomacy works, and he's actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it drives the Republicans crazy because they couldn't master that.
Well, it drove them crazy initially when he talked about how we overthrew Mossadegh and started the whole Islamic Revolution. Mm-hmm. And
he's on his Obama apology tour.
Yeah, it's apology for me, apologizing for me. I mean, it's kind of important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a skosh. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, we continue on all this Iran Mishigas. As Bibi Netanyahu would say.
Sure.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ugh, turkey. Ugh, giving thanks. Ugh.
Look.
Stephanie Miller.
It's the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, by the way,
what?
You know how I'm celebrating my pre-holiday?
What?
With the handsome and romantic and dreamy Lawrence O'Donnell, who will be doing his show from L.A.
What?
On Wednesday, what? And I'll be on the show with him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Squee! Ermengard.
Ermengard, it's Lawrence O'Donnell.
Right? Totally. Okay. So, oh, and I'm doing a, you know, JVM, as I call her tonight.
Jane Velez Mitchell?
Right.
You're doing JVM.
Wow. Okay.
No.
Wow.
The show.
Pay-per-view?
The show.
What? Oh, I
they
see.
They called yesterday. They're very last-minute Larrys over there. They're like, Jane wants to know, can you be there in 45 seconds? I'm like, what? No, I have somewhat of a life.
Well, use your teletransporter. What?
When they call you that close to showtime, that means they had someone drop out
right.
and they need
right.
you to... Yeah.
Right. I'm clearly never top of the...
No, you're not.
No. But listen, when they ask, would you like to be on set that close to Lawrence O'Donnell's blue eyes on Wednesday, I said, yeah. Yes. Oh, God, yeah. Maybe, you know what, I'll make them do that bullet promo for me that makes me hot. You know, the it's like, you know, promo female Viagra.
Do they still run that? I haven't seen that in a while.
It's stuck in my head. It's, you know, it's in my spank bank mentally.
Wow.
What?
Okay.
Okay. My point is, kids, on headline news, I'm supposed to do a Jane Velez Mitchell show tonight.
Okay.
It's just I'll be in one of the boxes yelling.
About what?
I don't know. Who knows?
Is it a court case?
If it is, then I'm not invited because I don't know anything about that.
Right.
I'm like, is there a difference between Jody Arias and Casey Anthony? Really?
Or is it about
are they two different people?
The new Conrad Murray stuff.
Oh, my God. Good God. He needs to hush now.
Wow.
Hang on. I sent you that story yesterday.
Yeah, let me find this.
All right.
Everybody talk amongst themselves.
Oh, God.
Dr. Conrad Murray, I held Michael's penis every night.
Oh, no.
You let him touch that and any other area?
Any other area?
Any other area?
Right. Anywhere you want, I guess. Wow. Is that how you administer sleep medicine these days?
Maybe that's why he was administering the sleep medicine.
Well, okay. That does make you sleep, right?
It makes you unconscious and unaware of things maybe being done to you.
All right. Now I was not prepared for this story, but now you drag me into it.
All right.
Okay.
What?
I need time to try to... Did he mean this in a gay way? I'm confused.
I have no idea.
Men sometimes hold other men's penises in a manly way.
No. That never happens.
Just as like girlfriends, we hold each other's purse?
No.
Could I hold your purse for you while you go...
No. It only happens in a gay way.
Really? Like,
yes.
Jim, you've never just gone, wow, this seems heavy today. Would you mind just holding this for a minute?
No.
Whew, thank you. That is a load off. That is a lot to carry around all the time.
Here, hold my penis. I want to try this on.
Ew.
Right? That's all I could think of is girls. Like, we often do that. Could you hold my
doctors
purse?
Don't even
like
hold
holding someone's
penises.
Is it like holding someone's hair back when they puke? Is it a loving thing?
Ew.
All right.
Here, let me hold that for you. You might get some of your puke on it. No, that doesn't happen.
Okay.
What the hell?
I'm just saying.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Girls don't go, could you hold my boobs up? I don't feel like wearing a bra. Would you mind just...
I buy that for $1.
Well.
I mean, maybe it's a friend thing.
No, it's not a friend thing.
My bra's chafing. Would you mind just holding them all night?
Straight men don't let men near their penises.
Okay. Dr. Conrad Murray says he and Michael Jackson were so tight, he would hold his penis for him.
Oh, God.
Wow. In a bizarre rambling interview with the Daily Mail.
Really? Bizarre?
Really? What's weird about that? Is that me? Is it me? Is that weird?
Travis just IM'd me. Can you hold my penis while I take a load off?
I imagine you need some hydraulic equipment for that because he's a big boy, Travis.
He's very tall
large
feet.
He looks large. Mm-hmm. Okay. He says, anyway, you want to know how close we were? I held his penis every night to fit it's a medical thing. To fit a catheter because he was incontinent at night.
That would be the only reason that a doctor would hold a patient's penis.
Medical.
But it's very weird that he brings it up in an interview.
Did he need to share this information about somebody? Okay. I didn't need to know that.
Any other error.
He said he wore dark trout. Right. He wore dark trousers all the time because after he went to the toilet, he would drip for hours. Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
What?
Why does he feel this is necessary information to share?
Michael Jackson should not have been alive if he had this much wrong with him.
Oh, no.
What?
This gets worse.
Oh, no.
And there's this mystery. Murray says, Michael didn't know how to put a condom on, so I had to do it for him.
Oh. What? Huh?
That's like, huh, on so many levels. Michael needed a condom. Why? Okay. If you say
so. Well, maybe because he was wearing those rubber gloves.
Because he was
really,
a lady killer.
Couldn't really...
Okay.
Yeah, because he wanted to hide the vitiligo on his hands.
Wow.
So.
Oh, and he also, he said he believes that Michael killed himself. He said he walked out of Michael's bedroom the day he died, I believe. He woke up, got hold of his own stash of propofol, and injected himself.
Of course.
Sure.
Right.
The
guy walked into my bullets.
Oh, no, this is shocking. He also said, Michael told me he never slept with Debbie Rowe. What?
You don't say.
Must every dream of mine die? Must every illusion be shattered? Next thing he's going to say is that was not a real kiss with Lisa Marie Presley at the music awards.
I'm so disillusioned.
Every dream of mine has died.
Oh, boy. Anne Murray insists Michael told him he had been sexually assaulted by one of his doctors while under sedation.
You say Anne Murray?
No, he was not assaulted by Anne Murray. What are you talking about? No, Dr. Murray.
Oh!
Do not drag her into this.
Say
you just drag drag some random Canadian into this.
Sorry.
Maybe Anne Murray should be mayor of Toronto. That's 20 worse than Rob Ford.
Oh,
wow. Okay, so I guess this would be a different. Michael said he had been sexually assaulted by one of his doctors. I guess that would be a penis holding of a different kind, not a consensual penis holding. And in this bizarre comment, oh, now it gets now they feel
now it's bizarre.
Now it's weird, Jim. Now it's weird, everybody. Murray suggests Michael predicted he would die on Murray's watch. He said MJ once looked at him and said, "You know, for the rest of your life and my life, our names will become inseparable." Murray says MJ smiled and said, "I am clairvoyant."
Well, if you
really?
And Murray.
We're confused how Anne Murray got dragged into this story.
All right.
I loved her.
I don't think she's dead.
No.
Oh, well, I didn't mean it like that. And now I apologize to Anne Murray and her family. Oh. How did this happen? I don't know.
She has a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
If Michael was clairvoyant, you would have thought he would have hired a different doctor.
Yeah.
I'm clairvoyant. What? All right, now you see what you did. You got me sidetracked for
How do we get sidetracked on that?
I don't know. I was on important things about Iran.
I'd rather have Anne Murray hold my schwanz than Dr.
Right,
Murray,
right.
Really?
And I would rather hold Anne Murray's breast.
All right.
Oh, my God. Wow. That may be the weirdest thing ever uttered on this program.
Now it gets weird.
Wow. All right, now it's going to get weird, everybody. Now a warning.
You want to fondle Anne Murray.
No, I do not. You dragged me into this.
A warning.
Just warning everybody, the show's going to get weird now.
I'm not.
Unless you put the candle back. Okay.
Put the candle back.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Okay, here it is. Dave's in Chicago to get us back on track. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. I was wondering how you dragged the penis talk show back to Iran.
I know. It's all on you, babe.
It's all on me. Okay, well, I am a lifelong Zionist. I've lived in Israel, and admittedly, I'm a left-wing Zionist, but I am very puzzled. I have yet to have anybody give me a compelling reason as to why a deal which limits Iran's nuclear capability is in any way bad for Israel.
Because we don't wipe them off the face of the earth for Israel. I guess that's the only conclusion.
Yeah, but I thought the United States was going to use Israel to wipe Iran off the face of the earth for us.
I don't know. It's just, that's the thing. It's, you need, obviously, after 34 years of not talking at all, you need some new thinking on all this.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, and that's what somebody was saying about it, that, you know, they try to keep everybody in Israel just afraid enough to keep reelecting people like Netanyahu, and right. Then nothing will ever change.
Well, Yitzhak Rabin was the last chance to save things, and then he got shot.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there you go.
Les in California. Hello, Les.
By the way, I think this doctor for Michael Jackson, if there was like a panel of five or so that would have listened to the guy speak for like an hour, frankly, you know, I think Michael Jackson would be alive today in advance if they had listened to that guy talk. You know?
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, the doctor was crazy.
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Oh.
Anyway, Iran. The Middle East.
Where'd you go?
As far as, huh?
What? No, go ahead. I'm sorry, Les. Okay. I'm having a nervous breakdown. Don't mind me.
The peace in the Middle East. Don't we think about what the president of Israel says when he says that it's a bad idea? Would Israel want peace and to negotiate on the nuclear energy situation with Iran? I mean, do we take that into consideration?
Take what into consideration?
The fact that the president of Israel says it's probably the worst thing that could possibly be.
Right, so we should just do whatever the president of Israel says.
No.
Yeah, why would we be beholden to Israel?
Well, we don't be beholden to them, but don't you think they have a stake in this, that we would look at the fact that, you know, they could end up in the worst situation of all of this?
Well, Israel has a lot of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, Israel can defend themselves.
Well, I hate to see when they have to, and wouldn't we be drugged into the whole thing?
We are. They.
Well, yes, that's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah, we have been since 1940, whatever.
Right, that's what we're trying to avoid. 48.
Right,
that's what,
48.
That's why this is such a big deal. All right. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. You know, it's hard to come back from the penis holding story. I think, you know, we should just stay in the gutter.
And Murray's breasts.
Right.
Yeah,
it's hard to crawl out of the gutter once you're in.
What?
It's, you know, it's easier just lay back in the sludge. I think I'll just go back in a moment.
Right.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Beneath its snowy metal, golden the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring.
Poor Anne Murray, what did she do this morning to deserve this? Thanks, chat room. Anne Murray is 68 years old, just a few years younger than Mama.
Uh-huh. That was actually Twitter that said that.
Bastard people on the Twitter machine.
Yeah.
It is populated entirely by bastard people.
Yep. And someone else tweeted, welcome to The Ditch. Population, the show.
A really strange three-way. This is Tom in
yes.
Columbus. Miller, Ward, Murray. Steph stimulates Anne's 68-year-old breasts. Ms. Murray stimulates Mr. Ward.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
really?
God.
You don't need to read everything that's...
Oh, God.
Jim and I were having
You started it.
You started it. We're starting Thanksgiving dinner early. Jim is coming to my Thanksgiving dinner. We were doing important things during the commercial break. Like, for instance, I said, Jim, how do you feel about Brussels sprouts versus green beans?
And Jim said, there's the problem with Brussels sprouts is if they're too big, they get bitter.
Right.
And I didn't like them until we moved to Europe, and we got the little ones that were actually sweet.
Yeah,
so
right. Like Hollywood stars.
So I'd say green beans to avoid that whole controversy.
Right. Yeah. And I think he's right. He suggested green beans to avoid controversy. We like controversy in talk radio, not at the Thanksgiving table.
Also, Brussels sprouts give you the...
Yeah, that's
true. Brussels sprouts with cooked in a little maple syrup and bacon. That's good.
Oh, right? Mm-hmm. I've had that.
Yes.
That is good.
Right, that is good. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Okay. I did it without the bacon.
Well, do it with the bacon.
You know what? This is a holiday week. This is what happens. We start doddering into recipes. And
ambrosia.
And now we're back to ambrosia.
Ambrosia looks like it was pre-digested.
How far behind can Chardet be? I don't know. Just random people and singers and things are getting dragged in.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, what was I saying? Oh, yes. No, my friend used to call them baby heads, the Brussels sprouts that are too big.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. All right. I'm still big as the radio that got small, and I've been bitter for years. I am a Brussels sprout.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been a sweet little ingenue.
But have you been to Brussels?
I can see that in the rearview mirror way back. Okay. All right. So we've been talking about, I was mentioning Dana Milbank's piece, among others, Republicans mindlessly oppose Iran nuclear deal. It's just you can't use the same template that they do for everything, and yet they do. They tweeted before it was announced what it even was. I mean, I love this. Ari Fleischer's instant and reflexive response set the tone for Republicans 3 minutes after Fleischer's tweet came in. One in agreement from Ron Christie. Another veteran of the Bush White House. You know, he's the...
guy with the vision for...
He's the, Republican with the great big vision.
For America.
Who happens to...
Doesn't he also have a lisp?
To be cross-eyed.
In addition to be cross-eyed?
No.
Can I just tell you, this is one of the many awkward things that happens to me. I ran into him in an MSNBC green room in New York when I was there to do the Ed Show.
Look into his eyes?
Right, right. I was like, ooh, Ron, hi! And he couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, good.
So he hasn't heard what you said about him.
Right, that's what I'm... Because I'm always like... Thank God.
I sure hope Anne Murray hasn't heard. But we
That'll be next awkward green room encounter. Hi, Anne.
Wow. Where are you ever going to run into Anne Murray?
Toronto?
It could happen.
Toronto. Actually, I think she's from like Calgary or Edmonton.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. All right. Precisely. Christie wrote, although maybe that's not what he thought. You know, because
I know you're going to meet her.
Maybe if he was looking at his autocorrect.
No, I know you're going to meet her in Regina. It says it's something else.
Okay.
Wow.
Can we just... Can we
need more sleep.
Can somebody just hit the light? I did not sleep at all last night.
What?
I'm having a bad...
life.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Precisely, Christy wrote, also without the benefit of knowing what was in the agreement, a disgraceful deal. An hour later, John Cornyn tweeted, we talked about this. Amazing what the White House will do to distract attention from Obamacare. He right. tweeted at 10:15, 19 minutes before Obama spoke. Aha! So the agreement to suspend Iran's nuclear program, negotiated over several months, was actually a clever and prescient ruse to turn attention away from problems with the health care
right.
law, which surfaced only in the last few weeks.
Right. Because it's used that Kenyan voodoo.
Right, but Dana makes a good point. He said this is a variant on the wag the dog accusation, but he said Cornyn's usage, however, would appear to be the first time a president has been accused of distracting the public's attention by making peace. Call it wag the dove.
Yeah, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, that's wag the dog. That whole thing is you start a war.
Right.
You don't not you like... Ay vey.
So the opposite of that.
Right. Thank you. In the eyes of Republicans, the agreement with Iran has a fatal flaw. It was negotiated by the Obama administration.
Oh. Huh.
This president could negotiate a treaty promoting baseball, motherhood, and apple pie, and Republicans would brand it the next Munich. yes. Nicely said, Dana. Thank you. Van Ciel and Asheville, bonjour.
Hey,
bonjour.
Bonjour.
Say that.
I know I'm not supposed to ask. And here you are asking me how I am, and we're not supposed to do that.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Nobody follows rules anymore.
What did you tell my screener about how I am?
Well, I was just telling Travis the best way to cook Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's a little time-consuming, but, you know, a lot about good cooking is
okay.
time-consuming.
Right.
Because we serve Brussels sprouts as part of a vegetable medley.
At Bouchon.
Bouchon.
At Bouchon, the official
Bouchon.
Snooty French restaurant of the Stephanie Miller Show in Asheville, North Carolina.
That's right.
We are not snooty. Otherwise, why would it be your favorite restaurant?
No,
come
that
on,
is
let's
true.
Think about
that
this.
That is true.
All right. Anyway, cut an X in the bottom of them.
Okay.
Because it's the fact that they're so tightly, you know, bound up, the water can't get to them, so they don't cook properly.
Ah.
And that causes the bitterness.
Okay.
Now, while I'm at it, let me give you another cooking tip.
So you need to cut each Brussels sprout. You need to cut each Brussels sprout bitch separately.
Yes, you do have to have
so
a little
all
X
like,
in the stem.
All like miniature Charlie Madsen's.
Right.
You can do that, though. You've got a little paring knife. You can do that. And also, if you slice garlic in half and remove the little green stem in the middle, that'll remove the bitterness from garlic.
Okay, hurry up. We have a half 30 seconds. Go ahead.
We do not want to be bitter.
No, we do not.
Slappy liberals, no bitterness for Thanksgiving. Love y'all.
All right, love
you
too. Oh, I thought there was more to the recipe.
No.
All right.
I thought we were getting invited to Thanksgiving at Bouchon. But that was...
I do olive oil, salt and pepper, and a little maple syrup. And then you bake it in the oven.
Put some crumbled up bacon in with it.
You don't have to do that if you don't want to. There might be vegetarians listening.
Sure. Well, if you're vegetarians, go eat at your vegetarian house.
Have a tofurkey.
That seemed rude.
Well, sorry.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we get Charlie Pierce early, who has some great stuff on the Iran deal,
mm-hmm.
and we will check in with him just at the top of the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Cha! 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free. Whenever, as expected, the box office exploded in Seattle with the my announcement last hour that Dan Savage will be our surprise celebrity guest and be serenaded by Frothy the Santorum.
It's not a surprise
by the Rocky
now.
Mountain Mike singers. Right. Well, it already leaked out, so there.
Santorum leaked out?
Ew.
Right.
Yeah.
No, the news about Dan Savage. Stop it.
What?
The final Sexy Liberal 2013 extravaganza, a Saturday, December 14th at the Paramount Theater. And then don't forget, Phoenix, Saturday, February 15th. Chris Lavoie will be there wearing something tight.
Yep.
Madison, March 29th, almost sold out. And Albuquerque, Saturday, May 10th, also tickets going great. Do it. All right. And speaking of gifts that just keep on giving, there's only one man now that understands.
Why?
And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
When are you coming east again?
Well, listen, wouldn't you like to know? Sexy liberal elves are working on it as we speak.
Excellent.
You're looking forward to your hero's welcome again.
I need that once every couple of years.
I think it was the meet and greet in Boston. I'm like, what? How come no one's over here? Oh, they're all
mainly,
over
what,
Charlie
mainly
Pierce.
Mainly what I do is I stand in front of Fugelsang and catch the leftovers.
So, Charlie Pierce, we've been talking about Iran all morning. It really is... I mean, I guess it should not be at all surprising, should it? They just had the same template, Obama bad, this is wrong, before we even know what it is, right?
Well, no, I think the most hilarious thing is that he actually cut a deal with Iran to keep people's minds off the fact that Obamacare is starting to work.
Right, right. Well, that's what we were saying. Yeah, that's Dana Milbank called it wag the dove. Hey, dummies, you start a war if you're trying to distract. You don't...
Yeah, I mean...
right.
I mean, it's so strange. This monomania over this law is now moved into the clinical phase, I'm afraid.
Yeah, exactly.
But as I said on the blog, any deal with Iran that doesn't involve selling them missiles is okay by me.
Yeah.
Because I lived through that other one.
Well, I was quoting you as I do earlier, but you wrote a great piece, The Long Shadow of Iran-Contra, and you think here is the party of Reagan, right? And as you subtly pointed out, he should have been impeached. Over that,
well, or at least investigated thereof. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where you. I mean, I don't know where you go on the October surprise. I know where Jim Ward probably goes, nice to see that Jim has come through the weekend okay too. By the way,
I know
because there was a lot of conspiracy. Although it's very interesting, Jim, if you're not following it, the Boston Globe is actually taking the "Why don't we have all the documents" part seriously.
Oh, good.
They've run at least two pieces about. You know, there's no reason, by the way, to keep all this stuff buried now.
Right.
Not even the Soviet Union's alarmed anymore.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because they don't really, well, you know what I think.
I do indeed.
All right. So, so Charlie, I also was mentioning Kevin McCarthy, House Republican, and you said there he was on TV on Sunday warning the president not to be too presidential about a foreign policy achievement because of the clause in Article 1 by which no Democratic president is allowed to act like one.
Don't act like you've accomplished something because you'll embarrass us, and you wouldn't like us when we're embarrassed. Well,
yeah.
You're embarrassed, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It is amazing. And as you were saying, I knew that I was slightly less irritated by the this week by the absence of David Gregory, who was off. There was no meet the press.
A very important auto race.
Right.
From Brazil.
Right. At any rate, but you said Bob Schieffer seemed to fill in with the whole, he said, I was on airplanes this weekend, and more than one person I was talking to about this whole deal pending with Iran, and they were saying, does anyone, by the way, really think Bob Schieffer was on an airplane talking to a bunch of people about Iran? Really?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he was on an airplane. After that, who knows? I mean, honey, the old guy sitting next to me is talking about Iran again. Can we change our seat?
Oh, jeez. And he said, that this might be a diversionary tactic by the administration, which is desperately looking for good news. Would you put it in that category yet? And as you say, shut up. There's no reason for you to be as dumb as John Cornyn. The same can be said for a bag of hammers, a box of rocks, and a sack of hair. But, I mean, really, that is something, and again, Charlie, I think the big story is how long this has been going on.
Well, yeah, not just that. I mean... It's not like the administration has gotten unreserved good press out of this,
right?
I mean, it's another fight. Essentially, they picked another fight with the vandals in Congress, basically. And right. Not only that, they picked another fight with some of the people in their own party. It's not like it's a very effective distraction.
Well, exactly. I mean, I have to say, I was mentioning last hour, Charlie, that somebody was saying it was a gutsy move again by the president, like many people have described. The Bin Laden raid. But you're right. They will not give him credit for anything.
Well, no, I would put it in a piece with not going into Syria.
Right.
Those are the two things that are parallel. That there are all other alternatives over there besides dropping a cruise missile or two.
Well, and you're right. To the warmongers, this is yet another quote unquote debacle of the Obama administration because it didn't end in war, right?
Right, and because it seems to take away the possibility of a war in prospect, which is what they really like.
Mm-hmm.
They like having the possibility of a war hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I mean, if it follows through, I mean, it could be the end of the, and that's why I brought up Iran-Contra, the end of the foreign policy ascendancy of the guys who were involved in that little fiasco.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's the biggest problem with Iran-Contra is we didn't punish people enough.
Yeah, someone was saying, boy, I would have loved to have tapped John Bolton or Dick Cheney's phone this weekend.
Oh, no, well, Bolton's already come out and said it's time to send the bombers.
Right, right.
Now that we've bought ourselves some time.
Yeah, the heck with the sanctions.
Fuel up the B-1s and let's go.
Yeah, yeah. And
do we still have B-1s?
B-2s or whatever.
Yeah. You know, Charlie, I also get news from
B-52s. Love.
Yeah, they still have those.
Yeah. Fred Schneider, let's send him.
Fred Schneider in a cockpit. Send him off.
No. He does all 16 dancers.
That'll get him. Charlie, I often read news from you. I don't get anywhere else. For instance, breaking. Karl Rove, not entirely honest, you say?
Unbelievable.
What?
Spectacular, yeah. The ProPublica, which does great work, is pointing out that, you know, the social welfare group that Karl Rove started has spent a little bit too much money influencing elections, which is not what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. Interesting. So he was a little less than honest to the IRS.
That's one of the people you don't want to be less than honest to, as a matter of fact, because they don't take it well.
Yeah. You referred us to the Citizens United decision and what was pronounced by Justice Anthony Kennedy, who, from all available evidence, apparently vacations on Mars. He said, we now conclude that independent expenditures, including those made by corporations, do not give rise to corruption or the appearance of corruption.
Of course not.
Right.
Wow. By the way, I'm going to get on my shiny pink unicorn and ride home now.
Yeah. Don't you just remember what was the Samuel Alito playing, you know, the bobblehead doll at the State of the Union when President Obama criticized the Citizens United?
That's not true.
No.
Not true. Absolutely not. No.
You
no.
lie.
Not true. It's a train. It's like John Boehner signing up for, you know, healthcare. It's a train wreck. It's a wreck of trains. This is a wreck where there are trains on the wreck and the trains.
Sorry, I got some drink to throw a switch.
Have I ever slung Casey Jones for Casey Jones? High on cocaine.
Wow, that was Jim and Charlie's drunken John Boners in stereo. Love it. All right, Charlie, happy Thanksgiving.
Harmony Boners.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for
you. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, honey. Bye. Bye. There he goes. We give thanks for Charlie Pierce.
Every day.
Yep. Dana Milbank, as I was saying, also with some great stuff about the opposition in this case, is particularly mindless to the Iran agreement. Certainly there are reasons to be skeptical that Iran will deal in good faith, but the deal is temporary, 6 months, easily reversible.
Mm-hmm.
In the likely event Iran doesn't agree to a permanent accord during that time and end its nuclear weapons program, the tougher sanctions contemplated in Congress could be applied then. Like, I don't even get why, like, somebody called, why would this be bad? Republicans were being reflexive, not reflective. Nicely said. They went right to 1938. Representative John Culberson, Republican of Texas, that guy?
Yeah.
Isn't he the one that looks like a John Candy character in Splash? I think so. He tweeted, worse than Munich, and a link to a Breitbart News article with a headline and images showing Secretary of State John Kerry and his Iranian counterpart juxtaposed with Hitler and Chamberlain.
Sure. I think you're thinking Blake Farenthold.
That's who I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I apologize to Representative Culberson.
Blake Farenthold.
Former Representative Alan West, emphasis on former.
Yes.
Republican of Florida, said America just had a modern-day Neville Chamberlain moment. Wow, they were stumbling over themselves to get to the Hitler reference there. Representative Michelle Bachmann, also emphasis on former, very soon, called it a total surrender by the Obama administration. Okay.
By the way, Neville Chamberlain gets a bad rap. And Churchill said about him, history should not be kind to Neville Chamberlain. I know, for I should be writing it. And he did.
Yeah.
But the fact is, England was in no position to take on Germany at that point. So, yeah.
Jim in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jim.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hey, hi.
I just wanted to say, I mean, my opinion might not be that popular with what I don't really, usually I agree with a lot of the things that you guys talk about, but this time here, I think the reason why a lot of things are bad about this deal is it doesn't take into account our allies and how they feel. Israel is already threatened, and they have issues with Iran, and the Saudis are defenseless. They don't have any nukes or any capabilities like that, and they are alienated by us, and we're making deals with their direct enemies. And it's already been rumored, because of things like this and because Saudis are afraid of Iran getting nukes, they've already been rumored to try to buy nukes from Pakistan. And we're creating a big whole nuclear... Well,
that's a
lot. All we've done was give Iran a six-month break. We didn't even do anything.
We're not giving them a break.
We're monitoring
you know,
and Israel already has
their...
hundreds of nukes, so they...
Well, they should in their position. If I was them, I would, too.
What are you going to do with hundreds of nukes?
Jim, how is this a bad deal when it's a start?
As I just said,
it's easily reversible. You can do the sanctions, you know, in 6 weeks if this doesn't... I'm not saying, I suddenly trust Iran either.
Well, but I don't trust Iran one bit. Khomeini,
what happened to trust but verify? Remember that with Ronald Reagan?
No, but I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying we're making deals with a terrorist country that denounced the United States 6 months ago.
So what should we do? Just war? Is that the only answer?
No, we weren't at war. We should have left the sanctions. This is a terror. We don't negotiate with terrorists.
We don't? Really? Ask Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Oh, you can't. Okay. Wow.
God.
Wow. Okay. We don't negotiate. Okay. First of all, as we pointed out, 70% of Iranians are young?
And yes. And they don't buy this whole thing. They were born after the revolution.
Yep. Right. Yes. And as I was saying, this new guy is obviously somewhat different. I don't know. Might end the same way. Who knows?
Who can say? But let's talk and see.
Does he want us to bomb civilians willy-nilly and just...
Yeah, right. Exactly. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Especially not girls.
Like Anne Murray.
Leave her alone. You're lucky she even performs for you. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce wrote about Karl Rove and the Citizens United decision. I forgot this hour, brought to you by...
Whether you're an Iowa farmer, or a Texas school teacher, or a California doctor, we know you. We control you. We're Citizens United Airlines. At Citizens United, we fly hundreds of millions of dollars to thousands of destinations all across America every day. Citizens United is the airline that's all first class with no riffraff. Our flagship, the Spirit of Congress, has 535 seats that we fill just the way we like. And we'll keep on flying like this because, frankly, there's not a damn thing you can do about it. And remember, people who fly Citizens United do it anonymously. Come see why money talks and bullshit walks. Citizens United Airlines, rededicated to giving you the shaft we think you deserve. Come fly the corporate-friendly skies.
Wow, that was great.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Ooh, the rare Jim Ward, full endorsement.
Wow.
Wowee. Wow, speaking of flying, I'm just looking at the TV there. I would leave now if you have to.
On the East Coast, yeah.
Right. Oof. Storms for the busiest travel week of the year. Mm. Hurry. Go now. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Chuck in Chicago. Hi, Chuck.
Hey. Hey, Steph. Hey,
hi.
Hey. I gotta point out something to that last caller. We've already had sanctions against Iran. They developed their entire nuclear program while having our boot on their neck. That's not going to stop it.
Right.
They're just going to keep doing it. So we got to try something else, and that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
And really, what should really be pointed out is that whole thing got ramped up when they got declared, you know, part of the Axis of Evil.
Right.
They thought we were going to mow into Iraq, you know, from Iraq. We were going to go into Iran. We were just going to just start knocking heads across that whole Middle East.
Well, Chuck, it was like I was saying about, you know, keeping everybody in Israel just scared enough to keep electing people like Netanyahu, and then nothing will ever change. They'll keep building settlements. There'll never be a two-state solution, which would be better for both sides, you know. And it seems to me the rest of the world, but, you know, exactly, like new ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Get on it, people. Mike in Atlanta. I'm not, not me, because I am
no, drunk.
Right, but yeah. Other people with brain cells. Mike in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The best, I think one of the best things about this whole Iran deal was listening to an intelligent president say the word nuclear instead of nuclear.
Yes, nuclear.
Thank you.
Yes. I heard the heavens open and the angels and the... Yeah. Yes.
In that last call, you could tell he was a Republican because he said nuclear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the new template, Mike, for the right-wing trolls. Oh, I normally agree with everything you guys say. I voted for Obama twice.
But this nuclear thing's got me all...
Yeah. And by the way, people that actually voted for Obama don't call him Obama. They call him Mr. President.
Yeah, or President Obama.
Thank you. Jeremy in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
So, the last two callers were absolutely correct. And, in fact, it takes a lot of audacity for the right to criticize foreign policy when basically our entire foreign policy is cleaning up the mess of these right-wing idiots for the last 30 or 40 years.
Yep.
Including, by the way, James Risen wrote a very interesting book showing how the Iran plans for a bomb were probably given to them by the CIA accidentally. There's a book called State of War. And... basically, they rolled up the entire CIA network within Iran because of the Bush administration. I'm amazed that doesn't get more press.
Yep.
So,
Yeah, absolutely right. That's why, honestly, when you see Bill Kristol on TV, just turn it off. Like, seriously, just
hello,
don't.
He lied.
Right. You don't need to. Dick Cheney, why is he still. Really? Okay. Cyrus in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Cyrus.
Hey, Stephanie. I just want to say, I'm Iranian. By the way, Iran, not Iran, but that's whatever. Not a big deal. But I'm Iranian. The best thing that happened as far as American diplomacy with Iran was the sanctions. The pressure that that put on Iran is the only reason why the Iranians wanted, the government wanted to warm up. I have cousins that the government of Iran recently killed because they, during the protests that were happening a few years ago during the elections. The only reason, that pressure that the sanctions created has already created a success diplomatically. It has already been a success because that's the only reason why they're warmed up, why they even want to talk. Mm-hmm. So, I think that it's important to frame it in that way, to understand that this administration has already succeeded in getting that government to bend. And now, yes, you have to take the steps to try to talk to them and try to get them to change. I mean, Rouhani, while, he seems like a good guy or whatever, he's still handpicked by Khamenei. Khamenei is the guy who has all the power, the supreme leader. And it's coming down to him. The only reason why Iran is warming up is because Khamenei wants Iran to warm up. They might not act that way, but they want to. And the only reason that this government wants to do that is because of self-preservation and because they're scared. And so, the pressure that,
in the end, who cares why they do it, right? As long as we have a peaceful solution.
It doesn't matter, yeah. I mean, it really doesn't matter. If they open it up and they become more free, I just want to say it's already been a success. Iranians, I have a lot of family in Iran. That's how they view it already.
Yep, well, good. Thank you for that. Very interesting perspective. Yeah, we don't care why people listen.
Mm-mm.
Love me, hate me, want to see what I'm going to say next? We don't care.
Nope.
Don't care. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Of course, all my relatives will be over for Thanksgiving dinner. I know they will. They're circling over the house now.
It is the Stephanie
Miller. I want to tell you.
34 minutes.
How about that Brit
accent? How about her? Not as hot as that Anne Murray, but 34 minutes after the hour.
Weird.
The president on the Iran deal.
Huge challenges remain, but we cannot close the door on diplomacy. And we cannot rule out peaceful solutions to the world's problems.
Peaceful solutions? That's boring.
French and gay.
I'm going to blow stuff up.
Like John Kerry. Secretary of State Kerry.
Israel will be safer. The region will be safer. Iran's 20% uranium will be destroyed. Therefore, they are safer.
Bruce in New York on the Iran deal. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, a few points I want to make really quick. One is... It doesn't take much to
to wage war. It's actually easy to send people you don't know to kill people you don't know. But right. what takes real strength and real fortitude and real self-assurance and bravery is to wage peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that they're not, that these, like this guy who called, you know, about a half hour ago, you don't know the history of Iran. They have plenty of reason to despise and distrust us from what we did to their country
right.
in the 50s and the Shah of Iran, who was the most brutal dictator. And once we should know, since Korean War forward, right through Iraq and Afghanistan, that war does not necessarily lead to peace. Often, if you start with war, what you end up with is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And we can always go back and declare war. The bombs are still there. Our troops are still trained. Our equipment is ready. So if this fails and they continue forward, we can always go the other way. But once you start dropping bombs, it's like a bar fight. Once that person gets in your face and starts, you know, gets you so angry that you throw the first punch, that's it. You've lost control. You can never go back to just talking it down. So these people are so anxious for war. Why don't they just sign up and go fight some?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
And this, we talked about this last week. Kennedy and Khrushchev were trying to stop World War III.
Mm-hmm.
Their own, well, the Russian version of military-industrial complex were pushing for World War III.
Yeah, and I bet you that's why Oswald shot him with one bullet.
Yeah, right. Nice try.
Doink! Okay. all right. Representative Steny Hoyer, Democrat of Maryland, on the Iran deal.
I think that this is a marginal improvement. It does freeze some of their activity in place, and it continues the major sanctions in place.
Thank you. It's a let's see,
yep.
Right? It's a six-week let's see. Representative Mike Rogers, Republican of Michigan.
We have just rewarded very bad and dangerous behavior. So think about what this agreement does. It says you can continue to enrich. That's what the Iranians believe. And they have made no changes in the development of their nuclear weapon program. And I can tell you that with a high degree of certainty.
And I can tell you that you're a liar.
Yes.
With a high degree of certainty.
It is not rewarding bad behavior. It is trying a different approach to something that is not the approach that has not worked for 34 years.
They gave us an opening to change.
And unprecedented, as John Kerry said, unprecedented access.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you remember when they were like, we told the inspectors to get out of, you know, Iraq. Oh, no, we know where they are. Let's get out so we can start bombing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Representative Ed Royce, Republican, California.
But we've seen previous administrations make the same mistake as this one, which is to be too gullible, to not negotiate hard enough, and to take a deal in which we have not precluded the capacity to develop nuclear weapons.
Yeah, not negotiating hard enough means we didn't blow anything up.
Yeah.
Right.
Damn it! Boring! Peace is boring!
Would it be against congressional decorum to any of those people to say, shut up, you vote for Iraq?
Yeah.
Shut up, Iraq. Okay. Here
all
he is.
All that blood is on your hands.
Yep.
Representative Ed Royce, Republican, California.
The Ayatollah wants that bomb. And as he continues to organize these rallies in downtown, in the Capitol,
Tehran.
Where people are yelling
Tehran,
death to America.
Idiot.
I know. I thought that that city in
that city,
place,
that big city in Iran.
Wait, I got to hear that again. Hang on. He's ours. He's from California. Here
the Ayatollah wants that bomb.
Ayatollah.
And as he continues to organize these rallies in downtown in the Capitol,
the
where people are yelling death to America.
In downtown, in
downtown
the
area,
Capitol.
Place,
rallies.
Where the city is, where the things happened that time.
Oh, my God. You can tell he's spaced. Raleigh's in the, you know, place there.
You know, in that, you know, that city.
The, you know, in Death to America Square there.
Ugh, he's from Orange County.
Welcome to our nightmare, all y'all. Take a little peek behind the orange curtain. Zoinks. All right. President Obama, speaking at a Seattle fundraiser over the weekend, described the Republican-controlled House of Representatives as the main impediment to progress and change in America today. Yes. Yes. The biggest barrier and impediment we have right now is the Congress, in particular the House of Representatives, that is not focused on getting the job done for the American people and is a lot more focused on trying to position themselves for the next election. And that is true. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Iran, he tried to talk about immigration. I mean, remember when we thought, for just a brief instant, when they took the, what's the term, ass-whooping?
Yeah.
in the Latino vote that they were going to do it, not because it's the right thing to do, but because they have to politically? No.
Compete says no.
That's not happening now. Not going to be any immigration reform. The president, though, trying again yesterday.
If we get immigration reform across the finish line, and it is there, just within our grasp, if we can just get folks in Washington to go ahead and do what needs to be done, we're going to grow our economy, we're going to make our country more secure, we'll strengthen our families.
Right. But we can't have that, because that would be a win for you.
Yeah.
And you are a black...
Kenyan.
Socialist.
Nazi socialist. Communist.
Okay. Did you see he got heckled by an immigration reform protester?
As a nation...
I need your help. There are thousands of
that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Every single day.
That's why we're here. Okay. Thank you. All right.
That's what he was there to do, to help
right.
stop
yeah.
the deportations.
But they think he can wave his magical immigration wand and do an executive order and just...
He went on to explain why he can't.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let me finish. No. You can stay there. Let me, hold on a second. So, I respect the passion of these young people because they feel deeply about the concerns for their families. Now, what you need to know, when I'm speaking as President of the United States, and I come to this community, is that if, in fact, I could solve all these problems without passing in Congress, then I would do so. But we're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
How great is he with hecklers?
Right.
Seriously?
No, let him talk. Yeah,
let him stay.
Yeah, and just explain
calm.
Why. Yeah. The Secret Service was trying to yank the guy out of there, and he's like, no, let him stay. This is what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, and trying to explain.
I've got a bunch of Nimrods in Congress who won't do anything.
Help me get rid of the Nimrods. He didn't say that.
No.
But the point is, he's right. That's our system of government is not set up to be able to do things through executive order. I mean, yeah. Anyway.
Some things you can, but...
Right, but I mean, it's just, this is why you need a Congress that will do something, anything. I've said this over and over. I don't understand how doing nothing, it's giving automatic amnesty to millions of people. How is that better? I don't. Hey, that leads me to another round. Speaking of obstructionism, Jim. Final round of Guess the Code. Who said, why not allow the president to do his job of selecting judicial nominees and let us do our job of confirming or denying them? Principles of fairness call for it, and the Constitution requires it.
Ann Murray.
No, that's...
Hemant Gurvin.
No, both really bad guesses. Republican Richard Shelby, Senator from Alabama. Mm-hmm. But that was back in 2003.
It's
completely different
right,
then.
Right, but not
now.
Because that would...
Because the black guy's in charge.
We said filibustering judicial nominees is unfair, dangerous, partisan, unconstitutional.
Huh.
Who said that?
Abraham Lincoln.
No. Representative Orrin Hatch, Republican. Again, that was in 2003.
Right.
Five.
Oh.
Right. And now the whole point is it's not fair, the nuclear arms, it's not the missing. Okay. All right. In other news, and not hip hop.
No.
The prosecutor who led the investigation into the Newtown school shooting says it did not determine a motive for the attack. They said there's no clear indication why he chose Sandy Hook Elementary as the target for his rampage, other than the fact that it was close to his home.
Also, he's nuts.
Right. I was just going to say.
I was freaking mine.
Yeah. Did you see the picture that he had on that ID that they had in the report?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he crazy eyes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly. That's the whole issue about the mental illness part of this. Mm-hmm. There's not a reason for a person that's that mentally ill. It's you think of motive as somebody that's even vaguely sane,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Thinking rationally.
Right.
Which he clearly wasn't.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Vacation week on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
The 80s call needs this song back. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere this hour. Brought to you by SodaStream. Fun. Wow. Steve in California. Hello, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Oh, thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, no, thank you.
I'd like to, I think, can I call just to, okay, I'm going to call and confess something to you. Can I do that on national radio?
You seem nervous.
I am very nervous.
It's okay. Come to Mama.
the Stephanie Miller calming music. Bless you. Actually, I call the I Disagree with Stephanie hotline so
yes.
I could get on.
Okay.
Just mainly to compliment you guys and say how much I love you. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have a criticism, and I feel bad about this.
Okay.
If I was voiced D.D. Jim Ward, I'd pretend to be Charlie Pierce right now. Where's Charlie? We miss Charlie. I mean, we love you, but we also love Charlie.
Okay.
You're weird.
I know. Thank you very much.
Is this prepared material?
Yeah, and I love you guys. I'm sorry. I call the I Hate Stephanie hotline just
okay.
so I can get on. All right.
Yeah, we heard that. Okay.
But anyway, miss
bless
you. Love you, and I'll get off the line now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. That was it.
Wow,
right.
That was
wow,
wee.
That was a little bit doughy. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. A little more. Travis, mention how you get to Carnegie Hall. Practice. A little more practice. A little more practice. Did you just say you're weird to a listener?
I did. Well, was he not?
Wow, that was the oddest little misfit toy we've had on the island in a while.
Right.
That was not Charlie Pierce. That was a Charlie in the Box.
No, he was a Charlie in the Box.
That was a
no child wants to play with a Charlie in the box.
That was our little gun that squirts grape jelly.
Is it a wagon with square wheels?
Sweet little feller. Thanks, Jim. Okay, by the by, Paul Krugman with a great piece about California. Here we come. We've replayed that great Bill Maher bit mm-hmm. about how mm-hmm. we rock. Just saying. We do. But he makes a very good point about the Affordable Care Act. He said, what if would happen if we unveiled a program that looked like Obamacare in a place that looked like America, but with competent project management that produced a working website? Well, your wish is granted, ladies and gentlemen. I give you California. California isn't the only place where Obamacare is looking pretty good, but it is an especially useful test case. Here's why. He said, first of all, it's huge.
Huge.
If a system can work for 38 million people, it can work for America as a whole. Also, it's hard to argue that California has any special advantage over other than that of having a government that actually wants to help the uninsured. Anyway, so he just points out what's happening. For one thing, enrollment is surging. At this point, more than 10,000 applications are being completed per day, putting the state well on track to meet its overall targets for 2014. And also, remember they were talking about the makeup of these, so far so good, he says, in October, 22.5% of the enrollees in California between the ages of 18 and 34, the much-mentioned whippersnappers mm-hmm. that we need to make this whole thing work, slightly above that group's share of the population. What we have in California, then, is proof of concept. Yes, Obamacare is workable. In fact, done right, it works just fine. And then, you know, he says, bad news is most Americans don't live in states where Obamacare has, in fact, been done right. And then he says, will they ever get to experience successful health reform? The answer is probably yes. There won't be a moment when the clouds suddenly lift, but the exchanges gradually are getting better. And then he talks about, Boner is such a...
Boner.
Boner. About how he staged this publicity stunt where he said, I tried, and I couldn't get a... First of all, he was probably drunk, and his keyboard is all stained with those little Cheeto fingers. I don't know what's happening. So he staged this stunt where he said, oh, I couldn't get Obamacare. And as it turned out, as Paul Krugman writes, perhaps the transaction would have proceeded faster if Mr. Boner's office hadn't, according to the D.C. Exchange, put its agent, who was calling to help finish the enrollment, on hold for 35 minutes,
yeah.
listening to, quote, lots of patriotic hold music.
Oh, God.
Mr. Boner cannot talk to you now. He has to complete his publicity stunt. What?
God.
They.
Pathetic.
Anyway, Krugman says in California we can see what health reform will look like beyond the glitches, and it's going to work. Thank you.
Glitches and an armor.
You know what? That's probably what you hear if you call Boner's office for anything at all. Probably just loud patriotic music rather than actual answer. My liver's just failed, and I'm trying to get Mr. Boner enrolled. His liver is...
Why do you hate America? His liver's exploded.
Yeah, I was going to say, he better get some healthcare tooth squeak because that liver can whoop.
Can't stand much more.
Right? How about immigration reform, Mr. Boner? I was wondering because my whole family... Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? I just wanted to tell Mr. Boner, I think that peace with Iran is a better solution. Okay? Hello? All right. You just hear the trombone. They probably have live trombone.
Oh, just shut up or I'll hit you with my liver. Well, you didn't hit with my liver.
Thwack.
Oh, that's no label, Mark.
Thwack, a bunch of Merlot goes out like a big ShamWow.
He's got a liver that's like a big leather purse.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Right. The saddlebag.
Yeah. Thwack.
Splosh. Sploosh. All right.
A big leather purse filled with Merlot. That's what it would be like getting hit
Slosh.
With his liver.
Oh, God. All right. Oh, God. All right.
I like us.
I do, too. All right. I'm not getting to the real story yet because we're running out of time. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Oh, why don't you love this? By the way, I just got me the new iPhone 5S this weekend.
Mm-hmm. How'd you manage that?
I was eligible for an upgrade, and I went into, let's just say it sounds like Despise Him,
okay.
Where I spent hours because I don't understand anything. But I was able to upgrade all my devices, which I did, including my iPhone 5, which, as you can imagine, I have no idea how to use.
No, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it has a bigger screen.
Right.
You probably noticed that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It looks good to me. Anyway, this could be me. Man planning murder, accidentally butt dials intended victim. I would
do that. Dear.
I would do that, yeah. By the way, it has the new thing where I can speak my text. But, you know, I'm usually...
drunk.
Right. So, you know you're going to get some texts that make no sense.
Your old phone couldn't do that?
Tell Chris I said flarnmarn and the kparn. And don't forget the bump music with the thing.
And the flavor.
You could do that with Siri, you know.
Really? I didn't know. This is not with Siri. This is a dictate thing feature.
Oh, yeah. I use that all the time on mine.
Okay. Anyway, I'll tell you the details of this in a minute after I...
Sober up.
Right. Back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, Kenny Pick. Hey, we covered earlier in this newscast that Dr. Conrad Murray said that he used to hold Michael Jackson's penis.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny said, that's okay as long as he doesn't beat it.
Just beat it. No, don't.
See, because big songs. Okay, speaking of music, Chris and Yankton.
Yeah.
We were talking about Paul Krugman saying apparently when the healthcare exchange called John Boner's office, all they got was loud patriotic music.
That's right.
Instead of, you know... the Boner, so he could actually complete his enrollment
mm-hmm.
and finish his little publicity stunt. Kristen Yankton says, excellent. Now, that's constituent services. Much better than Lindsey Graham's hold music, which is an endless loop of tearjerker favorites like Send in the Clowns, the theme from Mahogany, and, of course, I Will Survive. That's a post-John McCain breakup, I'm guessing. Gina.
Where are you going
Gina.
Well, I know I'm not going to Benghazi.
Funny face.
Do you know?
Hey, your ass face, John McCain. Goodbye.
At first I was afraid. I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. That was wrong. I learned how to get along and throw your back. I'm not
right. The Stephanie Miller Show does not know what Chris and Yankton means to imply about Senator Huckle. Huckleberry Butch me up. We're just saying. Why do I get the feeling that he makes John McCain reenact scenes from Mahogany?
Candle wax?
Is it, right?
Yeah.
Is it me? I think he does.
I think he does. You're not welcome anymore. Well, that's why. Lindsey Graham is so smooth-shaped.
You're a loser, Brian, and nobody loves you. Oh, I thought someone did. Well, nobody does. Nobody.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That was Mahogany.
I've never seen Mahogany.
I loved Mahogany so much.
I just remember there was candle wax.
Right.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Like dripping on her chest.
Right.
That's got to hurt.
Right.
That would cause blisters.
Those
wouldn't
first
it?
Couple
getting
of...
getting nasty blisters.
Okay.
Well, that's why Lindsey Graham keeps himself smooth shaven.
I see.
I bet you he's got like a bucket full of no-no hair removal devices.
I've got to do some manscaping.
Oh, Lindsey Graham manscapes for sure.
I think he over manscapes. I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, I was telling the story about, I was discussing my new iPhone 5, none of which I don't know how to do anything on it. You'll have to show
There's
me.
Really nothing new on
There's
it.
There's fancy features that I'll never
really.
Figure out. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing that you didn't have with
you know what, the
iOS 7.
Fingerprint recognition.
Well, there's that.
That was like magic. You just put your finger in a gun, it unlocks it.
Yeah, if only they had that for guns.
Yeah, right? Yeah, how could they possibly think of that for guns? Okay. So anyway, the story I started this with is because I would do that. Man planning murder accidentally butt dials intended victim.
Oops.
Police in Arkansas say a man's plot to murder another man reportedly uncovered after he accidentally butt dialed his intended victim.
No.
He reportedly spent the next hour and a half plotting the murder and giving a third person directions to the victim's house. While he listened in.
Oh my God.
All right. Someone that's a bigger technological
nerd
than me. All right, kids, sexy liberal. Seattle box office done gone crazy since word leaked out that our surprise celebrity guest is Dan Savage.
Yeah.
Who was so awesome on Real Time with Bill Maher this past weekend. He will join us in Seattle. That is the final 2013, go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Phoenix, Saturday, February 15th, Madison, March 29th, and the last one just announced.
Dear Republicans, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Go!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown, absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party. On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the sexy liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
Yay! Okay. I will be flying a transvaginal by Curious Airlines, as I normally do.
Yeah.
What?
No.
This is going to be a bad travel week. Big storm back east. If you're traveling for,
I'm staying out west, whatever.
Right. So screw them, is that what you're saying, Chris?
Pretty much. Yeah.
You don't care?
No,
okay.
I care.
Good. All right. This is one of those, because I am my dog's mom, Max and Fred.
Mm.
Oh, did we post on my Facebook page? I can't decide whether to get them a Corgi Elf or a Pugzilla.
Pugzilla. I vote for Pugzilla.
Have you seen the pug in the Godzilla outfit?
Yeah.
And the corgi elf is pretty. That's kind of. It's actually a corgi in an elf suit.
You're going to need 100 yards of fabric.
No, I would get them as a gift. I would get them a corgi elf as a gift, is my point.
Oh, they'd eat it.
Okay.
Like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Jim and I are dog lovers extraordinaire, and this is one of those horror stories. Did you hear this United Airlines story that refused to pay a vet bill?
Mm-hmm.
The pet survived, but this is why I rented a. What is that thing
RV.
Called? An RV to drive. It was like
what
a giant air-conditioned pet taxi to drive when I move across the country because I'm not putting them on a flight. It's too scary.
You can barely drive your own car. How did you drive an RV?
I didn't. I hired somebody. I hired a guy. It was a friend's brother. Friend's brother. My three ginormous dogs.
Miss Daisy and her dogs.
Right. Oh, that thing was a piece of. It's like the air conditioning unit was leaking on us the entire time. It was awful.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, United Airlines, a pet owner says her dog almost died in United Airlines care during a cross-country move, and afterward the airline refused to pay her vet bill unless she agreed to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and she would not agree because she said it was important to talk about this. Janet Sinclair loves her pets, her sleek greyhound Sedona. Sedona's so pretty. And her cat Alika, that's why she shipped them using United Airlines Pet Safe program in July when she was making the move from San Diego to Boston. They assured me that my animals will get a safety stop, a comfort stop in Houston that I paid extra for. According to Sinclair, though, her pets were not safe. The comfort stop nearly killed them as she sat in her window seat looking out. I would have lost my... I would have gone like, you know, Alec Baldwin to the 10th power on this flight if this was me. She was looking out the window on at the tarmac. And she saw a cargo plane kick Sedona's crate six times to shove it under the wing of the plane, the shade of the plane's wing, instead of gently moving it there. The video she recorded shows her pets left outside, not in a temperature-controlled vehicle. The temperature that day in Houston was 94 degrees.
And humidity.
When they touched down in Boston, she said her dog was barely alive. Sedona's entire crate was filled with blood, feces, urine. She was in full heat stroke. She was dying literally right in front of me. But miraculously, they survived the trip. She had to go into intensive care for a few days.
Boy, I hope that guy gets...
Yeah, over the last year, the investigative unit uncovered more than 300 pets that have died, been injured, or been lost in the care of airlines. It's terrifying. That's why I...
Who are these idiots that they're hiring?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Ugh, horrible story. All right. I would have to... Actually, Max, I would need the plane from Dumbo Drop. Operation Dumbo Drop. You can get him anywhere.
Starring Dennis Leary.
Because, you know, some people have said, you know, you should do that thing where you get a note from your psychologist and it's a service dog. And I'm like, okay, Max, first of all, would take up like three seats.
Yeah. You have to buy three seats.
It's tough to sneak him on. Although he is an emotional support dog, for sure. All right. Hey, looky here. Lady Gaga promoter fined for gay propaganda in Russia. A Russian court has fined the promoter of a Lady Gaga concert for propaganda of alcohol and consumption and homosexuality.
Propaganda of alcohol and consumption? Huh?
Propaganda of alcohol
in
consumption
Russia?
And homosexuality.
They raised drinking to an art form in Russia.
It occurs to me that...
They brush their teeth with vodka.
Yeah.
This occurs to me, this is my entire show, promotion of alcohol consumption and homosexuality. Pretty much. I couldn't set one pinky in Russia.
No.
I mean, that's my whole act.
They'd lop your pinky off.
Right? Ooh, the penalty is $614. Ow!
Boy, can she afford that?
Wow, how's Gaga going to come up with that? hey, holiday season, everybody. It's you said I heard this got canceled. It's a Wonderful Life was supposed to get a sequel?
That's what I heard.
The Frank Capra, a classic. But you said you heard it's off. I don't know. The follow-up was going to focus on the grandson of James Stewart's main character, George Bailey, and feature actress Carolyn Grimes, who played his annoying daughter, Zuzu.
Oh, that's right. She was the original Zuzu.
She was just six when it was released. I'm just saying.
She's no more than two.
Was that the...
I was like...
Why do we have to have so many kids?
Oh, God. My ears are bleeding.
Well, yeah.
Here's the good thing
My lip's bleeding!
Here's the good thing about that. I believe Jim Ward will actually do one of his classic It's a Wonderful Life holiday extravaganzas.
I've got to figure out an angle.
Starring George W. Bush. Right. I think
done.
The premise is that everything would be much, much better if he had never lived. But anyway.
Well, during the Bush administration, that made sense.
But yeah,
right.
But now.
Oh, it still does. It's a classic. It's a holiday classic, much like the original.
It's not exactly relevant anymore. But
all right. I don't care.
Not exactly current.
I don't care. I live in the past. 17 minutes after the hour. We roll along. Michael Tomosky, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party.
1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Michael Tomosky of the Daily Beast coming up. Oh, speaking of pink. Right. You know, it is the materialistic hostage season for parents, where you start to get your list of demands from your toddlers. Would you like to know what Pink's daughter wants?
What does Pink's daughter want?
She is two. Willow. Mm.
Cindy Lou Who, who's no more than two.
Does she just want some Who Beast?
No, she wants a lot more than that.
Okay.
On Twitter, Pink said, I've just been informed by my two-year-old that she would like a small building, a lake, a hill, and a car for Christmas. Oh, and turkey bacon.
Oh, who doesn't want turkey bacon?
Well, that's... I just bought some yesterday because I got a whole bunch of house guests coming in. All right.
Are you going to sprinkle it
that's
into your...
That's a little over the top, though.
You're going to sprinkle
car in the hill in the building.
Your turkey bacon into your Brussels sprouts?
No. I'm not cooking. That's the gift I'm giving everyone else.
You're catering.
Yes. Roseanne Barr is giving herself a butt lift as a birthday gift, belated birthday gift. It's a gift for herself and her much younger boyfriend, apparently.
Hmm.
Huh? I'll have to. We'll have to talk to her about it next time she comes in. Stephanie, don't bring that up. Okay. Let's see. Good news for me. Outkast to reunite and headline Coachella. Outkast collaborator Sleepy Brown. You know Sleepy Brown.
Sleepy Brown?
Right.
Who's he?
He's officially confirmed they will be reunited to headline next year's Coachella Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Loves me some Outkast. You know, it's that festive, happy, classic
kind of. One, two, three, my baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and if I know for sure.
Lend me some sugar, I'm your neighbor. Okay, and finally, Sean Penn has had another, is he having some sort of contest with Alec Baldwin, or what do you think? He went nuclear on a fan in the fancy San Francisco hotel. Threatening to jack the guy up after Sean caught him trying to sneak a cell phone picture.
What? Jack the guy up?
What?
Penn bolted after the guy and screamed at him, do we look like zoo animals? Penn, who was in town to speak at a sales conference, also grabbed the man's phone and slammed it to the ground. You can hear Penn yelling, I'll make you eat the phone, get the out of here.
Hmm.
We're told the man had attended the sales conference where Sean was speaking and was wearing his name tag at the time. So presumably he got paid to go speak, you see, at the conference. And then a guy that was...
I think he may have anger management issues.
Really?
My spidey senses tell me.
I don't... Why is it a big deal if someone takes your... I don't understand that whole thing. And you know there's a lot of horrible pictures of me floating around out there.
Oh,
what do
God,
I care?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
What? You're going to order me to scrub them from the internet, aren't
yes.
you?
I don't understand why we just can't cancel the internet. Those right-wing sites always find the worst one, and then I'm like, oh. All right, we were talking about Paul Krugman's piece about how well Obamacare is working in California and what a template that it could be for the rest of the country. This is the kind of thing that irritates the living bejesus out of me. Majority say they no longer trust, believe in Obama after Obamacare fiasco. This is helped along by the media a lot. The White House could not be happy with the results of the latest CNN poll. The poll shows as a result of the problematic, that's because of this constant crisis coverage. Look, they're covering Iran like it's a crisis, just like Syria, or any kind, because the Republicans say so. Because they say it's a debacle and a, you know... whatever they say. And they just report it, and so everybody thinks, oh, both sides do it. Oh, look, both sides do it. Look at the mess that everything is because of both sides equally.
Republicans have kind of mastered that, haven't they?
According to the latest CNN poll, only 46% of respondents now view Obama as a strong and decisive leader, a record low. Check this out. The finding even lower than the 48% mark Obama hit in September 2011, the immediate wake of America's historic credit rate downgrading. So you remember that was both sides. Remember both sides got us downgraded, got our credit downgraded? Remember when both sides did the thing? So the see, this is what they count on, that people will just go, oh, politics. When that was specifically at the feet of congressional Republicans that our credit was downgraded and we went through this whole thing. People have short memories.
Andy Borowitz has a take on this.
Yes.
He says the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, told reporters today his nation agreed to a deal on its nuclear program in the hopes that it would distract attention from the trouble-plagued rollout of Obamacare.
Right. Exactly. They're clearly all in cahoots.
Right.
Okay. Oh, here are some more Thanksgiving fun facts for you. A lot of people call us for ammunition to fight with their right-wing relatives at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Obamacare will obviously be.
I think a drumstick makes some pretty good ammunition. You get the right spin on it.
You know, you get those Brussels sprouts that are too big. Oh, don't eat them.
Right.
Throw them.
Right.
There you go.
There you go. Food fight.
Oh.
Yeah, this was the piece. I can't remember where this was now, but because we all had, you know, Hank. That guy. Uncle Hank.
Drunk Uncle Hank.
Right. Right-wing drunk Uncle
Hank. You know what?
We all have a version. And then, oh, Emily is the, you know, left-wing, you know, vegetarian, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just some sample arguments that will happen that you can arm yourself. Blah, blah, blah. The website screw up means Obamacare is dead. That's Hank. That's drunk Uncle Hank. and he will also say, even the Democrats are abandoning the sinking ship. Emily, here's your line. GOP governors are largely responsible for the struggling health care rollout in the first place, and Democrats are wimps, so that's not a surprise to anybody. Thank you, Emily. Okay. First off, remind Hank of the Republican governors who refused to implement state-run marketplaces and forced the Obama administration to set up a single federal marketplace, compounding the website's tech burden and managing exchanges for 36 states. Republican then refused to appropriate funding for the additional website burdens on the federal government, which left the Obama administration scrambling to secure additional funding for healthcare.gov. Hank. Republicans even forced the guy hired to fix the website, Todd Park, who wasn't involved in the rollout, to take nearly a week off to testify before a House committee.
Hmm.
God. Tad. The GOP is clearly trying to sabotage this. State-run online exchange healthcare marketplaces, notably the ones in California, as Krugman just mentioned, mm-hmm. and Kentucky, have fared significantly better than the federal website. Red states that have refused to participate in any education initiative to inform the public about the law have actively thwarted those who have tried to help, requiring navigators to jump through government hoops, try to scare people away with baseless allegations of fraud. Lastly, enrollment goes till March 31st. During the first year of RomneyCare, younger Americans waited until the last minute to sign up for insurance. This could happen this time, too. And that's, you know, and then there's like one more segment we'll give you to say to drunk Uncle Hank.
Mm.
And also, Michael Tomasky.
Whom you want to date and kiss and marry.
Mm-hmm. With a great piece on Iran and the Daily Beast. We'll talk to him next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
For Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, I've been waiting and waiting the whole show for the magical moment when I say good morning, Michael Tomasky. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Michael Tomasky.
I'm here. Can you hear?
I can. Hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Excellent piece on Iran. Obama crushes the neocons. I always think, is it me? And then I read you, and I'm like, no. Michael Tomasky.
It's me and you.
That's right. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, except that this is of such critical, you know, war, life and death, war and peace, international importance, right?
It's the biggest international issue out there, isn't it? It's like it's potentially World War III if this comes to war. So, I'd say peace is worth a shot.
Well, as you say, the agreement signed with Iran on Sunday, a momentous step forward, yet Republicans will try to subvert their success by playing to their Obama-hating base. And I love the way you put it. You said, you know, now we just need to sign off from our American ayatollahs. I mean, who, like you say, they seem to have one template, Obama bad, here's why.
Exactly. And, you know, we've already heard. I mean, how many times have you heard the word Munich in the last 24 hours?
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, fortunately, this doesn't take the form of being an official treaty, even if they, you know, consummate the long-term deal in 6 months. It's very unlikely that it would be an official treaty. So it's not anything that's going to need Senate ratification, thank goodness. But they can still make a lot of mischief in the meantime and, you know, tighten sanctions that subvert the terms of the agreement or come up with some other, you know, authorization for the use of military force. And there are a lot of things that they can do to try and submarine this, and they're probably going to try them all.
Well, I mean, Michael, it's amazing. As you were saying, you know, obviously this is a historic step. You talk about that even the fact that we've been in direct and very secret negotiations for a year. And yet, of course, they will not give the president the benefit of the doubt, you know, or the ability to do any president, as I say, because, I mean, they have to second guess and undercut him at every turn.
At every turn. I mean, this is, you know, this looks to me like, you know, this was a really, really delicate and sensitive and difficult negotiation that, you know, took a lot of painstaking work. And, you know, if it can work, if it can save us from, you know, having to resort to more extreme measures. I mean, nobody wants Iran to have a nuclear weapon. I take that very seriously. I think we all do. But, you know, this is a better and surer way to prevent it than what the neocons want. All they've done, Stephanie, and this is a great irony that people should be aware of and that we should emphasize, all they've done in the last 10 years is strengthen Iran. You know, the war in Iraq, Iran is the strong player in Iraq right now. Iran is calling a lot of the shots in Baghdad. And so that's what their policy is.
The war that, as you point out, cost us $2 trillion and 100,000 lives. And I mean, as you say, to have these same people talking about how this is bad. I love when you said, I'd love to have a tap on John Bolton's phone over the weekend or Dick Cheney's or any of these guys, right?
Well, I guess I'd love to. I don't know. We might not be able to stop.
Call the NSA. They probably have everything.
But, I mean, you also make a point that, you know, we all recall Obama in 2008. There he is saying he'd negotiate with Iran. And you said, I'd love to have a nickel for every time he was called naive by John McCain or Sarah Palin, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, lo and behold, here it is, maybe bearing fruit. Now, you know, we obviously have a long way to go on this, and you know, Iran, whether Iran's going to agree to a long-term deal is very much an open question, but, you know, it has a shot. It has a shot, and it really could have many other positive reverberations in the region. And simultaneously, Syria apparently is destroying its chemical weapons. That seems to be working all right.
Another storyline that was completely false, right? Oh, a debacle, incompetence. Well, they're never going to disarm during a civil war, yada, yada, right?
That was another Munich.
Yeah, that was the last
Munich. Another Munich. Yeah, right. They happen every couple months, I guess.
You're absolutely right, though, Michael. It goes to the larger point that when everything is Munich or everything is this, it's like history loses all its meaning. I mean, they're so loose with those sort of comparisons.
They are, and they always go to Munich, I think, because it's really the only thing the only instance you can look at in modern history, more or less modern history of the world. It's pretty much the only instance you can look at where negotiation clearly and plainly failed, you know, in other places. In other instances, negotiation kind of prevents bad things from happening, or the failure to negotiate leads to war and death and mayhem and chaos. Munich's all the only, you know, arrow they have in their quiver.
Right, but as you're right, Michael, you said for Republicans, this will be what it's always about with them, the politics of playing to their Obama-hating base. And also, it goes, I thought, a fascinating larger point when you talk about the neocons. You say, perhaps most important of all in psychic terms to the neocons, there's the contemplation of the hideous reality that Obama and the path of negotiation just might work. And that means their entire worldview is discredited.
Yeah. I mean, if this succeeds, their whole idea about the world, their whole theory is just blown to smithereens. I mean, it's already discredited based on what happened in Iraq, but it's double discredited if this succeeds. And I think it's pretty clear that, you know, the American people will be able to look back over the last 10 years and see, okay, we followed the neocons' advice once, and we can see how that worked. And now we followed this other path, and we can see how that works, if this works out.
Well,
and, you know, people will be able to draw the obvious.
You close on such a great point that the Iranian leader appears to be moving his right wing a bit. Ours, alas, isn't nearly as flexible as Iran's. And that's the other talking point they always do. Oh, the president will negotiate with Iran, but not with Republicans. It's like, no. Exactly the opposite. Republicans won't negotiate with him. I mean, that's...
I'm sure you choke the same way I do when you hear Republicans talk about what a partisan bill the Affordable Health Care Act was.
Yeah.
I just hope nobody gins up another Gulf of Tonkin kind of situation to make the Iranians look bad.
Well, as you say, that's you know, all great piece of this called Crush the Neocons. Michael Tomasky, I know you're on a tight schedule this morning. Thanks so much, honey. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes, Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast. I loved him.
He's dreamy.
I love him. Joe in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You were just talking before about, you know, the Republicans are to blame about Obamacare. You guys own this thing totally.
Well, no, you know what? Michael Tomasky is right. It is a partisan bill in that it is a Republican bill. It is based on ideas from the Heritage Foundation,
totally
Bob Dole.
This up. It's Mitt not going to work. You lied about the implementation.
You lied about it, Stephanie.
President Obama lied about the implementation because only the top 2% of people were supposed to pay for this, and everybody else was supposed to save $2,500 a year on their insurance costs. Now all of a sudden, we're talking about winners and losers.
Mm.
That's not the way this thing was sold.
Isn't that the way that capitalism works, winners and losers?
Policy. You can keep your policy, you can keep your doctor. Those were absolute lies.
Mm-hmm.
You own this thing. You guys have screwed it up. It's costing jobs in this economy. Look at the Cleveland Clinic. The Cleveland Clinic's probably the best, one of the best hospitals in the country.
Uh-huh.
Look it up.
Yes.
And then.
Oh, okay, I will.
It is not.
I've heard of it.
Cost curve. That's according to the CEO of the Mayo Clinic. This thing's a massive clusterfuck.
Oh, hey. Right then. I should have seen that coming.
Yeah, huh?
Because he's kind of a weed.
Yeah. And a bleep stick.
No, he's not allowed to be snarky like that, then drop an F-bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah, single payer then.
Yeah, all right.
Do
you
what
convince
they do in
me.
Civilized countries.
Oh, stop twisting my arm. Okay. Single payer. All right. You know, I think that's the point of those calls, is to see it at the end if they can do
right.
It. Rooted by the FCC, the giant F-bomb. Okay. They're like, all right, if we can't bomb Iran, I'm going to drop an F-bomb in one of them there liberal shows.
I throw bam.
Blew it up.
Blowed up real good.
All right. Oh, speaking of which, this is my last tutorial for Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, okay.
Because of that, because he's your drunk Uncle Hank, that guy that just called.
Yep.
We can't afford Obamacare's killing jobs. Here's your line. You are Emily. Obamacare pays for itself and cuts the federal budget deficit. By the way, all y'all fiscal hawks, there is no evidence from the Bureau of Labor Statistics the law has had an impact on part-time workers seeking full-time work. The most successful part of the law has been the Medicaid expansion, which has already helped over 400,000 people get insurance, but Republican governors in more than 20 states are refusing to approve the expansion, leaving millions unable to get coverage they could have otherwise. People are going to die because
Republican governors. Yeah, you screwed it up, you liberals.
Apparently me specifically.
Yeah, you own it, you screwed it up.
Right. This isn't the reform I wanted in the first place, and you're killing yourself trying to repeal a law you guys helped design. So what can we do? Cut out the costly middlemen, private insurers, and offer equal coverage for every American under a single public program funded through taxes, single payer, Medicare for all. It has well over 60% support. Uncle Hank, let's just agree to disagree. How's college? Emily, I graduated 3 years ago. I'm the drunk Uncle Hank in our stride because that was a running joke. I used to always ask my niece, Kara, how's Notre Dame? I graduated like 10 years ago. Oh, okay.
Really, Steph? Oh.
Auntie Steph doesn't always keep up with the latest doings.
You don't read the Christmas card letters that come?
You didn't mark it down in your paper calendar.
It's still a joke we do.
Okay.
Now she's like late 40s. I'm like, how's Notre Dame? Good? Okay. 45.
Now that she is a dame.
Yeah. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50 minutes after the hour. All right, Kenny Pick in Cleveland, our buddy, our pal. Hello, Kenny.
I'll give you a twofer. I've had my Soda Stream for about 4 years, and I would never carbonate a milkshake with it.
Yeah, thanks. I apologize.
You could probably do sparkling wine with it, though. Oh.
No, we've had people try that, and they say it really doesn't
probably
work.
Probably do a egg cream kind of a thing.
Oh, there
something
you go.
Something like that. Yeah, you could add it after the fact. Good one, Jim. Very nice.
Thank you.
Bill. Okay.
We will announce after my Thanksgiving party the results of what Jim and I accomplished with my Soda Stream.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wanted to call and debunk the dope, and I won't swear to the dope that called and was talking about the Cleveland Clinic, which is right down the road from where I'm sitting now.
Oh, you mean the one that I can look up? Why don't you look at it? If I hadn't heard of it. Okay, go ahead.
Just one of the many outlets. You know, one of our favorite trusted ones. Check out Media Matters for America. Yes. They have. I mean, they have a statement from the Cleveland Clinic. They're not laying off 3,000 people. They're giving the option to people for early retirement. They are doing away with some redundancies with the Affordable Care Act coming into play. There's things that they don't need anymore because there isn't it's not such a debacle going to all the different insurance companies now to pay people's bills. So, there will be a few people losing their jobs, but the Cleveland Clinic is 100% behind the Affordable Care Act, and that guy can go bleep himself.
Right. All right. Kenny Pick, thank you very much.
Happy Thanksgiving. Well,
thank you. Kenny Pick also offered the joke about Dr. Conrad Moore, who likes to hold.
He's got to get rid of the redundancies and the repetition.
Yeah,
and
also
repetitiveness.
Right.
All that as well,
exactly.
Too, in addition.
Exactly, what you just said. Yes, he said, well, that was, it's hard to get past any other news this morning except the news that Dr. Conrad Murray said that he used to hold Michael Jackson's penis.
Ugh. Ow. Who needs that image?
Yeah, there was more information after that. It's not important now. Yeah, but Kenny had said it's okay as long as he doesn't beat it.
Hey! Yeah. Just beat it. No, please don't.
Whee! All right, I'm going, I'm doing the JVM tonight, as the kids call her.
The JVM?
No. I'm supposed Jane to...
Jane Felice Mitchell.
Yes.
That's what they call it, JVM.
On Headline News.
Because it's too slow to say Jane Felice Mitchell.
Right.
Unless
I get canceled. And I'm supposed to do the last word with Lawrence O'Donnell tomorrow night.
Yeah.
On MSNBC. Very, very excited about that. Why am I guessing that we're going to be talking about the knockout game?
Okay, that's a load of crap.
That Daily Beast saying it's America's latest phony panic. Well, remember much like the wilding before it, the furor over knockout game bears all our hallmarks of an overblown panic over a crime wave that doesn't exist.
We had that guy call in, what was it, earlier this week or last week, saying, well, why aren't you guys talking about the knockout game where black guys are knocking out Jewish people?
Well, this is what, Jim Albuie is pointing out in Daily Beast. Race, an obvious element of all this. It's almost, in every report, the assailants are described as young black men. Many of the victims have been white. It's hard to see the sensationalized coverage of knockout before that wilding as a reflection of our national fear of young black men. He says it's this media panic as well as the strongly anecdotal nature of the coverage that should give us pause before we declare this to be a national problem. And it's not to say that it hasn't happened. It's not horrible.
Right.
But, he was just citing basic crime statistics. That
Make it look like
it's
an epidemic.
Right. Again, the crisis Chiron. Everybody's like, oh, my God. It's happening to everybody in every city.
No. On every street corner.
That being said, stop it, you idiots.
Yeah.
You teenage mutant idiots.
Bunch of hooligans.
Exactly.
Well, I ought to.
My day.
There always have been hooligans.
Right.
There always will be hooligans.
We are old that we even use that word.
Ruffians.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Cavs. Founders.
Founders. Okay. All right. Oh, hey, Jim. This is would you like to know where the number one spot is for office sex?
On a desk?
Jim and I... No.
Seems pretty
Jim
obvious.
And I prefer the
against
elevator.
The coffee maker?
We prefer the elevator.
Oh.
It's our special time, Jim and I.
You know they have cameras in the elevator.
When we go down. Ooh. Yikes. Good to know. Make a note of that.
That's a pretty short hop. That pretty
you're
short.
Gonna
yeah.
Up,
yeah.
You're going to end up on some HBO documentary, Sex at Work or something.
Some version of Taxi Cab.
Yeah.
the number one in-office place where people have sex, for men at least, is the storage room, everybody.
Well, yeah. Until someone comes in to get a pencil.
Right.
Are there locks in the doors of storage rooms?
I've never worked
in an office. Real situation.
Women, on the other hand, seem to prefer privacy that comes with getting busy in the conference room.
Oh.
Until someone comes in for a conference.
Surprise! Followed by their office, and then the elevator. Although only 1% of women have actually done it in there. That's like a fatal attraction thing. No one does it in the elevator. You're right, Jim. There's not enough time.
Yeah, but then you get your bunny boiled after you do it in the elevator.
Right, right. But there's not enough time unless it's a really tall building and it takes a long time. You know, I'm just saying. Okay.
That sounds like a sex thing.
I did it in someone's office at work.
Did you really?
The old radio station.
Male or female?
You know. I just thought I'd drop that bomb. No!
Well, I don't know.
Well, yes, but not that one.
Oh.
All right.
Okay. See? Yeah. Yeah.
I had to let your mind go back a few years.
That was a few years ago. Oh, okay. Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's move on. Oh, no. This is bad. The downfall of Brazilian bikini waxes could be on the way out, according to Salon. Like Cher, low-carb diets and cargo pants, no matter how often some things seem to go away for a while, they always come back, like pubes. In recent squeaker vote, a majority of women polled now say that after years of going barer and barer, they are leaving their nether regions alone. It's like that scene from Scary Movie. Where she takes her pants off and... Okay,
I don't think
never
I ever
mind.
Saw that movie.
Okay, never mind. 51% of the women who responded to the survey say they do not style or groom their pubic hair at all. When asked for their reason, 62% cited a partner who prefers the natural look.
Oh.
Prefers the Lincoln Mutz one.
They like going jungle.
Right. All right. I think we should end on that note.
All
right. Okay.
Wrap it up.
Let's get in the elevator, Jim. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.